So it's come to my attention, even though he said this last Friday in a media dump, and because SEC Media Days is a week away, and I knew that the Clarion Ledger had come out and stated the following things about Keith Carter, the athletic director of University of Mississippi, and some of the things that he said, but because of Major League Baseball draft, because of Derek Curiel and Jake Brown and LSU doing something completely unprecedented during the weekend, we didn't really have time to really push the narrative that Keith Carter had stated, the AD and athletic director of Ole Miss, about potentially going after two players that are now on LSU's current roster. Now, before we get into all of that, I was just going to let this go. I was just going to continue to let it go and say, he was asked a question and he came out and stated, well, it's an avenue that we could go after, that we could sue Princewell Umamyelen and Devin Harper for funds that we were promised. You weren't technically promised in them, not technically. I was going to let it go because unlike Ole Miss, LSU actually did something that yet again was unprecedented. Like they've done the last two decades in sports, which you've been unable to do. You know, like national titles, plural, which you haven't done. So I kind of let it go. I said to myself, they're trying to bait everybody. I know what they're trying to do. I know that Keith Carter, who completely and utterly failed as an athletic director and is continually failing as an athletic director, is trying to push the buttons of Lane Kiffin and Prince Will and Devin Harper and others, because if he does that, he gets his Rudy Pooh name back in the media. LSU was doing something unprecedented by being able to bring in Malachi Washington, Colby Stringer, Dominic Santarelli. You name the players that didn't go in Major League Baseball's draft, you go ahead and tell me. You know, over the last couple of weeks, I've said, listen, why does On3, why does ESPN, why does Ole Miss continue to push this narrative? Because they don't have a choice. They don't have a choice. You know, Lane Kiffin, and as we get started in this, over the last 7 weeks, has barely said anything. The truth of the matter was, he's said absolutely nothing. And yet, these little petty shots continue to come up in reference to LSU and Ole Miss. The funny thing to me, and in case you missed it, last Friday, the Clarion Ledger, which is a paper, and by the way, in looks of things of today's media, being in a paper is not going to really do you any good, but he came out and he said that Ole Miss is considering going to court on the buyouts on contracts for TV revenue shares with Princewell Umamyelen and Devin Harper. So let's start off tonight by talking about that absolutely ridiculous thought that if you're going to go out there and sue players, then you better well be able to live with the consequences of what's coming for you. But it's interesting to me, because instead of doing exactly what you asked Lane Kiffin to do, what your media corps, what you, what the national media, what every single body has asked Lane Kiffin to do, you're not living by your own principles. You're not living by your own words. You're not living by the things that you said that needed to be done in this entire situation and shutting your mouth. And that is a direct quote from you. No, you continue to go out there and say, we need our money. We're strapped tight. That's interesting, because that's actually a direct quote from you. That is a direct quote from Keith Carter, that they're strapped tight. And well, we made these decisions. Well, did you make the decisions to pay other players in the portal higher than the guys that were on your playoff roster? Because you and I both know that's exactly what your general manager and Austin Thomas and your head coach Pete Golding did, which made people in your locker room pissed off. Ask Caden Lee that same question, and I'm sure that he would have the same thing, and he's got nothing to do with LSU and Ole Miss. But it dawned on me on Friday when this came out from the Clarion Ledger. And as I've said on social media, they're trying to be petty. They're trying to get back at Lane Kiffin. This has absolutely nothing to do with $1 million because, quite honestly, we can say Ole Miss is a poor institution. Not really. They're not poor. They still got old white hair money from people who probably did really illicit things. They didn't need the money. They don't need the $1 million between two buyouts of two players. Not as much and as desperate as Keith Carter going to the paper and asking, we need our money. That makes you look weak. No. All of this surrounds around Lane. Every single little bit of this has nothing to do with the $1 million. It has nothing to do with Prince Will. It has nothing to do with Devin Harper. It's got every single little thing to do with LSU's new head coach who left you high and dry because he knew that LSU was a better institution and a better program. Now, the first thought that I had when all of this came out last week was simple. Why now? You know, why not do it a couple of months ago? Why not do it a month ago? Why not do it 2 months ago? Why not do it 3 months ago? I'll tell you why. Because the media is about to come all together in one centric location. They are about to all join in as one and go to one location in one place to cover the conference. SEC Media Days. And they knew, Keith Carter's not an idiot on this one, they knew that when SEC Media Days would arrive, when you leak this story out, that somebody somewhere at some paper is going to leak it. Because LSU's media is not the only media that will be there, so will Ole Miss media. And you better believe that those Ole Miss media members that are going to be in attendance for SEC Media Days are going to ask some absolutely ridiculous and stupid questions because they don't know no better. Shame on them. Their mama would not be proud of them. But you know that they're going to ask Rudy Pooh questions. So what do? You go out here and you leak this before SEC Media Days when massive national media personalities and local personalities all across the SEC who are going to ask Lane Kiffin about the situation of Keith Carter saying that those players are going to be sued. But you know what? At the end of the day, this is going to backfire on you because now Lane has you trapped. The reason that he has you trapped is because if you go to court and you sue players, all Lane Kiffin, all any coach at any institution, not only in the SEC in the country, can do is saying, hey, man, if they don't play you and you hit the portal, there's a chance that they're going to sue you. Yes, you are under contract, but there is a very strong chance that they're going to sue you. Look what they're doing. Even though, in principle, they did the same exact thing to so many others. You know, I look at this and say, if you go ahead and sue Prince Will, you go ahead and sue Devin Harper, LSU can easily pay that $1 million buyout. I mean, it's a lot of money. But you know what Lane gets to say? At any given turn, I'm going to have my players' backs. You know, life is a game of chess and not checkers. Life is a game of moving the pieces around to make sure that you put yourself, your team, your business, your family, your institutions. Places to have success. You know, I made the joke earlier last week that I started playing chess because I didn't really have anything else to do. Stand by. Uh-oh. Are we good? Stand by. Hold on. I don't know why it does this. But, goodness gracious. I don't know what's going on here. We might have to figure out something new. Stand by. All right. So what Lane, to get back to the point, what Lane's going to be able to say to you is, what he's going to be able to say to the entire country is that we can go out there and we're going to back our players. Meanwhile, if they don't do and your players don't do what you ask, they're going to get sued. It's going to backfire on you. It doesn't take a genius to find out what Keith Carter is trying to pull here. He's trying to be petty. And, you know, I find it hilarious. As we mentioned earlier, guys, it's been 7 weeks and Lane has said nothing. Ever since the Vanity Fair piece, Lane has gone into a cocoon. Now he's done some stuff with Tyrann Mathieu. He's done some stuff with Barstool, but he hasn't gone on Twitter. He hasn't gone on Instagram. He hasn't said a godforsaken thing. And yet the narratives continue to come out every single day, every single week, every single situation. You know, which made me think about something else. The only narrative that I keep hearing being pushed is that Lane needs to shut up and move on. Stop bringing up Ole Miss. That is so interesting to me. Lane hasn't said a word in 7 weeks. So who's the one that keeps wanting to push this narrative and continue to talk about this over and over and over again? You know, the media member who Lane got in a confrontation with at the end of the season, apparently the dude called him a hoe. I mean, good, that got his 5 seconds of fame. But the guy that called him a hoe is coming out there telling him to be quiet. Meanwhile, doing stuff in reference to still talking about him. I thought you wanted to move on. I thought you had a better head coach. I thought Pete Golding was going to lead Ole Miss to better success than Lane did. But yet your athletic director keeps showing that he is incompetent in some of the things that he's doing. Let me paint you a brush before we get to this Prince Will and Devin Harper situation. If I owned a business and one of, if not the, because Lane is the, if the top performer in the business that I own or the business that I run tells me that another company is coming after him to hire him, and I ask that person, who is the biggest reason of why my thing and why I've built and what I've built is having success, when I constantly ask him throughout a year, week in, week out, day in and day out, is he going to stay at Ole Miss or is he going to go to LSU? And he refuses, per your words, to give you a clear picture of what his line of thinking is, I'm probably going to assume that he's moving on. What I'm not going to do is get caught with my pants around my ankles and say to myself, uh-oh, I guess I'm just going to have to move on now. Lane's going to LSU, which you did, by the way, 2 weeks before the Lane Kiffin to LSU was announced, when you got on a plane, went into this great state of Louisiana to go have a conversation with John Summerall. And don't you dare come in here and tell me that that didn't happen, because I have proof. You didn't want Pete Golding as your number one choice. You wanted the head coach of Florida if Lane moved on. You know it, and I know it. So please don't you dare tell me, when you flew into the great state of Louisiana, that you didn't want John Summerall over Pete Golding, because that is a truth, and you know it. You were incompetent when you kept asking Lane to go out there and tell the press and tell the media and to tell the world that you were staying, and yet he never did it. Who is that on when you got caught with your pants around your ankles, when you didn't have any other choice but to hire Pete Golding, when on 3, 24/7, Yahoo, ESPN, Pat McAfee, everybody started reporting when the signs started to be shown that you were going to go after, or Lane was going to go to LSU, every article in the country started saying that Ole Miss has pivoted to John Summerall. You got caught with your pants around your ankles. And yet, even though everything and what we've been talking about, everybody wants to point the finger at Lane. Everybody is pointing the finger right at him and saying that it's his fault. Lane is the reason that all of this is a problem. But it seems to me that even though Lane has not been on social media for 7 weeks, that Ole Miss is the ones that keep being petty. So it brings me to another question that I have. The other question that I have is, if you're going to continue to be petty and do this before SEC media days, knowing that all of the national media and local media entities will be there, what were you doing and were you this incompetent during the entire contract negotiations? That's the real question. If you can show how silly you can be out there in the public 7 months after the fact, 7 months, by the way, after the fact, that you were doing the right things by Ole Miss, were you just sitting there in November, mid-November? Were you sitting there saying, oh, please, dear God, Lane, please stay. Please stay. And yet he told you, I'm not. The thing for me that is hilarious, and that Ole Miss media, Ole Miss fans, and literally their administration are showing you without a shadow of a doubt, they're not over it. They blamed Lane for everything. He hasn't said a word. He hasn't said anything about you. In the last 7 weeks, he hasn't said anything to you. And yet you want to leak this out before SEC media days so that Lane can be asked about it and so that he has to come out there and say no comment. But you know what would be hilarious? This is what would be hilarious. What if LSU showed up to SEC media days with $1 million check and said, oh, sorry, $1 million really isn't anything to us. Here you go. Here you go. Here's your money. Or you know what would be even funnier? On September the 19th, when you go into Oxford, handing Keith Carter a check, if you're Virge Allsbury personally, and saying, here you go. Oh, and by the way, congratulations on getting your ass whooped. In reference to Princewill Umamyelen, in reference to Devin Harper, they have a contract. With that contract that has been signed, allegedly that has been signed, if they want to sue, it's going to get really interesting. I would assume at some point, majority of the time having a signed contract, I don't know all the details to the contract, they do have it. I would assume that they need to pay. Don't act like it's that they're not being petty, however. With that being said, I turn to something else. So, look, if the court deems, if it goes to that situation that they need to pay it, by all means, you had a contract. I can't back you out. I can back you up there. I'm not an attorney. I'm not going to act like an attorney. But I completely understand the situation. Fine. But I also understand the petty situation of what Ole Miss is playing. But you know, it would be really funny if Ole Miss was in this same exact situation, but yet they were the ones who did something shady and went and got a player from another university. You know, before any Ole Miss fan comes in here and tells me, Blake, before you talk about Luke Forelli, he never signed a TV revenue deal. He never once signed it. And yet it's funny because I go and look at Google and ask Google. And I say, hey, Google, is verbal binding contracts, are they admissible in court? If you agree to something in principle and that party who agreed in principle already started doing the duties of an agreed upon principle, meaning if Luke Forelli and his agent agreed with the University of Clemson in a TV rev share, and he already started acting upon that TV rev share by signing a financial aid agreement, by, oh, I don't know, going to class, it would seem to me that beyond a shadow of a doubt that he 1,000% agreed going to Clemson, signing a deal as the contract is being completely finished before you sign, that he agreed in principle. And before you say that he didn't sign, I literally right here have 20 cases in the last 5 years that Google would have told you that verbal binding contracts are actually a thing and can be admissible in court. You know, Davo Sweeney was the one that actually was the one that provided some form of proof saying that Luke Ferrelli and his agent agreed to things being in principle. Davo Sweeney 7 months ago came out in a press conference and stated, and I quote, we have screen, he said screenshots, I'm going to say screenshots. We have screenshots of Ole Miss head coach Pete Golding telling Luke Ferrelli that he will double what Clemson is giving him. So how do you double something that wasn't agreed upon in principle? So I wonder, if Clemson were to bring Ole Miss to court and saying, we had this in principle, Luke Ferrelli was already doing some of the duties, like going to class at the university. He had agreed to it in principle. I wonder what an attorney would say there. You know, like as an example, some of the cases that have happened in our great country, like Exxon versus Texaco, when there was an employee that agreed in principle to go to Exxon, and yet the formal contract had not been officially signed, he's already starting to work for Exxon, and yet Texaco comes and gets him and says, we're going to double it, and he leaves. Exxon sues and gets the money. They get a buyout of the contract. That's interesting. But, you know, that's not even the worst thing. You know, money should not be a factor here. I think the principle of the fact is probably the biggest thing of what Ole Miss is trying to say. They agreed to a contract. They agreed to an agreement. And in that agreement, Principal Umam Yellen and Devin Harper should live up to that agreement. You mean the same way that Ole Miss baseball did for Brett Harris? Oh, well, Blake, that's a completely different situation. We had to crunch numbers. The Clarion Ledger wrote an article not too long ago about an Ole Miss baseball player. Well, he's not an Ole Miss baseball player anymore, even though he signed and Mike Bianco signed him. Brett Harris was a young man that agreed and signed to go play for the University of Mississippi baseball. And unfortunately for Brett, and God be with him, he also has had some medical issues in his high school career. And in the Clarion Legend report, Ole Miss has released Brett Harris because they needed to crunch numbers for their baseball team. And in the report from the Clarion Ledger, when Mike Bianco was asked about why he cut Brett Harris, he said it was a very unfortunate and bad news situation. The Clarion Ledger reports that Ole Miss baseball, which sometimes, and I understand that things can be really tricky, and I'm not saying that Mike Bianco's a bad guy and did probably have to make a hard decision, because I do believe that he had to make a hard decision. But what is interesting to me is that the reason that was given is because they did not know if Brett Harris was going to be able to do some of the duties that it would require for being a baseball player at Ole Miss when he had medical treatments that he needed to get to. Now, you tell me who's not an insane person now. You now look at me in the face and tell me that you're not a university that's just as scummy as everybody else when a young man got cancer. And the reason that you cut him, the reason that you gave was, is because we don't know if he's going to be able to do his medical treatments while being on the baseball team. Are you kidding me? And you want to talk about, oh, well, Principal Umam Yellen and Devin Harper didn't pay out their buyout monies. You agreed to a kid that had cancer and you cut him loose. You cut him loose. I understand that it's unfortunate. I understand that there are things that you have to do because numbers need to be crunched. But don't you dare tell me that you are mad that Principal Umamyelen and Devin Harper are just some bad people because they didn't pay out a contract when you released a kid from a $250,000 scholarship that he was going to get at the University of Ole Miss to play baseball because he had cancer treatments. That's what the Clarion Ledger is reporting. So who's a real shit piece of person now? That is you. So you want to continue to have these things? You want to have Keith Carter, the athletic director, that's constantly coming out there and saying, well, LSU and Princeville and all of them haven't paid their monies. They didn't pay their money. Brother, you literally just had someone in your athletic department that got released because he had cancer. And the reason that y'all gave the Clarion Ledger was because you did not know if he would be able to do treatments and come to Ole Miss. Who is the piece of shit now? I'm walking into Oxford, Mississippi, or SEC Media Days, and I am handing Keith Carter a check for $1 million, or the exact amount that they owe. And come September 19th, I am taking every bit of energy that I have, and I am ramming it down their throat. And let me tell you this, I pray to sweet God up above that if by some way LSU finds themselves being up against Ole Miss, like if they're up 14, 17, 21 points, that there's no way in blue hell that Ole Miss, well, let me say it like this. I hope that there's no way in blue hell that Lane Kiffin takes his foot off the gas pedal, because it's not just him that's going through this anymore. This is the fan base. This is the administration. That is everybody that has backed LSU behind this entire situation while the entire country continues to point at an institution that all that you and I both love and every majority of the people that cover this place love, and we're at the butt end of every joke. Every single one of them. That absolutely crappy fan base has attacked me, which is fine. I'm a part of that. That's okay. They have attacked children. They've attacked Lane's children. They have attacked my children. And you want to sit here and tell me that they're on some moral high ground? Please spare me. Spare me. Pay it. Be done with it. Or don't. But you know what narrative I'm also pushing? The narrative that I'm pushing, as soon as that contract is null and void and this is all settled, I'm coming out with a statement saying, we're going to back our players no matter what they do. And when you go in recruiting and you can't land five stars, I would assume in a couple of weeks you're not going to land one either, and you're struggling in recruiting and you have nowhere else to turn, don't come crying to us when people want to flip because you're being an asshole. The bottom line remains is, yes, this has gotten beyond toxic. Keith Carter could have had his attorneys send something, any kind of formal recognition letter to LSU and Principal Umamyelen and Devin Harper and saying, we are looking for our money. They didn't do that. And if they did do that, they should have continued to do that. They shouldn't have taken this publicly. Because when you start embarrassing people publicly, you're going to start looking like the bad guy. Oh, and by the way, they set you up. Because now LSU, when you feel like you got them by the gojones, you don't. This is not going to play as a PR standpoint. It's not going to play in your favor. I promise you that. I've been in this game a long time. And there's a lot of ways that LSU can slice and dice this one. None of them that come out in your favor. Nevertheless, we're live. Everyone do us a favor by hitting the like and share. Share to all those groups if you're on Facebook by using that YouTube link. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Tonight's show is brought to you by our good partners and friends over at 24/7 Sports. Use the promo code AYS60 at checkout. You'll get 60% off of your annual VIP membership. Do us a favor. Subscribe to our good friends and partners over at Go 24/7. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We greatly appreciate it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. If you're on Twitter, hit that retweet and share all the content. We do greatly appreciate it. All right. Dog, that's going to be the nickname that we have for him, says he's watching from Mars. Well, Keith Carter might be watching from Mars because he's high if he thinks that this is going to be bad for LSU. Good luck. Chris Lomax is in the 901 Covington, Tennessee. Good to have you in here with us as well. Where is everybody watching from tonight? The 985, the 504, the 225, the 337, the 318. Are you outside the state representing the state? Let us know where you're watching from. Get Gooder with a $2 super chat says, I'd rather lose to McNeese than Ole Miss this year. Without a doubt. Without a doubt. Lane has said nothing. It's constantly you that keeps bringing this up. Without a question. Like, this is starting to become ridiculous. They have, but people can say that LSU and Lane and whatever they want to say has been the ones pushing this media narrative about there's toxicity and Lane won't shut up and Lane is doing this. Lane hasn't said a word in 7 weeks, guys. He hasn't said one godforsaken word. Who's the ones that keep talking now? So you want to talk about you can't make a hoe into a housewife. Well, when your housewife does nothing but gossip like yours does right now, and all they do is spit off at the mouth, you better be able to make sure that that housewife is able to throw hands. Because when you say something that's wrong and somebody gets pissed off and you got to throw them hands, you better be ready for it. Because now this isn't a game anymore. It's not a game anymore. Good luck. You're going to fucking need it. All right. This is like the, okay, I shouldn't have said that. 337 says he's from Atlanta, Georgia. Good to have you in here with us as well. Kevin Dunn says, what happens when we find out Ole Miss didn't pay Kern's buyout? I don't know if Kern had a TV rev contract. Guys, you can believe what you want. You mean to tell me that Frank Wilson had nothing to do with Kerryus Kern? I mean, guys, stop being naive. Stop being naive. AP says, you already know where I'm at. He's in the 504. Good to have you in here with us. Jamie says, I'm so over Ole Miss, watching from Winston-Salem. From the 318-31 great, good to have you in here with us as well. Kyle says, Lane, leave no doubt. I literally hope that he goes full Remember the Titans. Leave no doubt. I don't want them to gain another yard. It's not the only thing that LSU's being attacked by. All right, let's get rolling here. I see that Joey is in the 904 Baker County, Florida. I love my Tigers and my Louisiana roots. Good to have you in here with us as well. Good to have you in here with us. Let me get to a quick break. When we come back, LSU still under attack. Jed Fish had some things that he needed to say. SEC Media Days is right around the corner. LSU announced who they are going to be bringing. We will bring that up as well. So do us a favor. Hit the like and share. Go subscribe over to the YouTube channel. Hit that notification bell. We greatly appreciate it. Wherever you listen to podcasts, rate, review, and subscribe. Let me get to a quick break. When we come back, we got lots to discuss. Stay with us.
He would sell your house and find you anew. Well, Tyler's the man. He's here for you. If you want to buy or sell, well, it's not too late. Dial 955-0008. Just call 955-0008. Y'all call Tyler, he'll shoot you straight.
Hey guys, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Red Stick Financial. They're your local residential mortgage broker located right here in the heart of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. At Red Stick Financial, they find the bank that works for your particular set of needs to purchase the home of your dreams or refinance the current one. They truly are your partners in this process, and they pride themselves in helping individuals and families with one simple goal in mind, and that is to make home financing approachable, attainable, and stress-free. They are licensed in all Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi. So from Amarillo to Meridian and everything in between, they have you covered. Redstick Financial brings you creative, customized solutions, and they don't believe in the one-size-fits-all when it comes to loans. They even have special options for mobile and manufactured homes located in a flood zone and stated income financing for those of us who are self-employed borrowers. If you or someone you know is looking to buy a home, refinance an existing mortgage, or simply want to know what options are out there for your future, give Redstick Financial a call today at 225-407-9250. That's 225-407-9250. Or check them out online at redstickfinancial.com. That's redstickfinancial.com. Before you purchase the home of your dream or you go and do that refinance, you need to go local. Go Redstick.
We're back.
Washington head coach Jed Fish was on with the Triple Option. That is a podcast hosted none other than Urban Meyer, Mark Ingram, and Rob Stone. So it's a Fox affiliate podcast. Now, the last time that we talked about this podcast was me losing my godforsaken mind over Urban Meyer doing something absolutely ridiculous and saying that pretty much, that LSU fans were unhinged and that they'd be calling for Lane Kiffin to be fired if he's not in the national title picture in year one. Absolutely ridiculous. He has no idea what he's talking about. But Jed Fish went on with Urban Meyer, Mark Ingram, and Rob Stone, and was asked about the Damon Williams situation. Because, of course, he was. Now, in this instance, I got to be real with you. I don't blame Urban Meyer, Rob Stone. I don't blame Mark Ingram. I don't blame Fox. I don't blame anybody for asking him what everybody wants to know. What happened with Damon Williams? You know, the question that I have for Jed Fish, who leaked to the media that he was intending to hitting the portal when Washington Athletics was hosting a memorial for an athlete who had tragically passed, and you were having a memorial service? Who was the one that leaked that he was hitting the portal when that memorial service was going on? On that podcast, it was asked to him about the situation, which Jed Fish came out and stated that a program told him, meaning Damon Williams, they will pay him an extra $2 million if he goes into the portal, and the kid's only 19 years old. I seem to remember that at one point in time, Damon Williams was a commit of the University of Arizona. I also remember a time when Damon Williams, his future was up in grabs when Jed Fish left Arizona and went to Washington. I wonder if a conversation between Damon Williams and his family, along with Jed Fish, asked about the financial ramifications if he left his pledge of Arizona and went to Washington. Because you and I both know that money is never brought up. Now, that's not necessarily egregious because he's technically following his head coach that he had committed to. Guys, during the portal process, you and I, let's do this. Let's rewind something very quickly. Let's rewind to during the portal season. If we rewind 7 months ago, you and I had a conversation. That conversation, when we were talking about Sam Levitt, when we were talking about Hassan Longstreet, 2 weeks before Damon Williams announced that he was going to be entering the transfer portal, you and I had a conversation that there was a lot of buzz about Damon Williams entering the portal. So before this was even national news, before there was even speculation, over at AYS, we told you that Damon Williams, there very well may be a massive chance and shot that he tries to find a way to get out of a contract that he signed because he wants to go somewhere else. And all of that being said, it was pointed that LSU was the team that was the ones doing it. And yet, when it actually started going on, all of a sudden, reporters at ESPN, reporters at 24/7, and reporters at On3 all came out and said, not so fast, my friend, as Lee Corso would say. They also stated that Miami and that Oregon were two teams that also is going to be very much involved in Damon Williams if he officially enters the transfer portal. And then all of a sudden, Miami was like, oh, well, what's going on? We're trying to win a national title. LSU was still courting Sam Leavitt, and the whole thing happened when Sam Leavitt was on campus. And then you knew that Lane, that very, what, 2 days later, had to fly to Knoxville. And when he flew to Knoxville to tell Sam Leavitt that he wanted him to come to LSU, Damon Williams stayed at the University of Washington. Now, I don't know how behind the scenes all of those things played out. Actually, I do to some extent. But here's what I do know. I find it funny that two other schools, let me say it like this. I find it funny that multiple schools were talking to Damon Williams. I find it funny that the University of Miami literally went to a quarterback in their own conference. They had to pay a buyout. They went to court and paid a buyout for Darian Mensah. Literally went in their own conference and stole a quarterback to be a part of their team. And now you want to tell me that Miami wasn't inquiring to Damon Williams to take his talents from Washington to Miami when they literally did the same thing with Darian Mensah, even though I have records of literally every college host, literally every college platform that covers the sport saying that Miami was getting involved. Why do you keep pointing it towards LSU? Because you knew that they were really the only threat. You knew. You know, it's funny, when Jed Fish left Arizona, I wonder what Jonah Coleman did. Huh. Jonah Coleman went to Washington. You know, I really find it funny to see what some of these guys, unlike Jonah Coleman, did. Because there were seven players that left Arizona and went to Washington. Seven. Some of them that stayed at Arizona and then the very next year went to the University of Washington. And technically, I guess, in a 12-month span, eventually followed Jed Fish to Washington. I wonder if there was ever conversations and tampering going on there. The NCAA just came out with a proposal that was called legal tampering. The Big Ten is going to back it. Guys, the SEC is probably going to back it. And you're out there talking about tampering. The University of Washington is probably going to back it. I feel for myself, I feel for LSU, that as these things continue to go on, guys, until you hit the field, until you start winning games, this is going to continue until you show the country, yeah, we're not to be trifled with. Unfortunately, we're going to have to hold on and wait for those games to happen so that everybody will shut their mouth. Here's what I will tell you that I know for a fact. Miami and Oregon 1,000% wanted Damon Williams on their team. Wasn't even me saying it after the fact. The 2 weeks beforehand, I told you that Miami is going to go after Damon Williams, and there was nothing on socials, on message boards, that he was even intending on hitting the portal. The opposite happened. He had signed a contract, and I told you, yeah, you might want to hold on. Guys, we have YouTube videos literally talking about that situation over and over again. And I told you, I don't care what he signed. He's still having conversations with the University of Miami. But yet everybody wants to paint it to LSU. here's what bothers me the most. What bothers me the most on all of this is that if I know it, and I'm not saying that I know everything that goes on in college football around the nation, because I don't. There are people that do. But instead of pointing the finger in other places and actually doing what's right and saying LSU was not the only team that he probably had a conversation with, Miami, 1,000%, which you could make the argument was the ones that started all of this, is definitely having conversations. And before Dan Lanning even knew that Dante Moore was going to return, and before he knew that he was going to land Dylan Raiola, he was worried that he was going to not have a quarterback at all. Of course he wanted it. And I remember the Big Ten coming out with a statement that they were going to sue. And all of a sudden, they started to push back and saying, yeah, we're just going to let Washington deal with it now. Well, why did you do that? Because the reason the Big Ten said, yeah, we're going to back off here is because you found out that Oregon had the same amount of conversations as everybody else. Because LSU's under attack. And there's only one prescription for that. The only prescription to get people to back off of you right now, it's a simple one. You go out there and whip their candy rear ends. That's what you need to do. There's no other form of medicine. I don't like when context, how about this? I don't like when a story is presented and yet only half of the story, and in this case, one third of the story is being told. Do I think that Damon Williams was offered about what Jed Fish was saying, that he was offered to go somewhere else? Yes, I do. I don't think that that's a lie. But he painted this in a picture that one school offered. That's just not true. And he knows it's not true. And I would ask, if I ever had the ability to talk to Jed Fish, what I would ask him is, who leaked Damon Williams going into the portal during that memorial? Who leaked it? Damon Williams didn't leak it. I feel pretty strongly that Damon Williams did not leak that he was going to enter the portal during that memorial service. I think you did. Now, I say I think, and allegedly, I have no proof. I am just speculating. I think you did. I think Washington and Jed Fish 100% leaked that to make the kid look bad. I don't know how that locker room is going to treat this situation, but if you're going to go out there and the media is going to allow, that's the thing that pisses me off the most, is that the media is allowing, knowing good and dang well that Miami and Oregon 100% pursued this too, that they're just going to let LSU take the blame. Good for you, I guess. Good for you. But there's one thing that I know. The one thing that I know is that screenshots never die. And when screenshots never die, and I can pull up here this handy-dandy phone, and I'm able to pull up those exact screenshots and articles that you wrote about Miami and Oregon being involved, and yet only one side of this story is being presented, tells me everything that I need to know. You don't care about this place. You never will. But let me tell you what is going to happen. When LSU goes out there and starts winning games, LSU is going to be the talk of the town. They're going to be what everybody wants to talk about, because Lane is the biggest thing to talk about in college athletics right now. Look at our YouTube channel. Look at our YouTube channel when we talk about college football in general from our national college football show. Lane is always going to be the number one topic. That's why they do it. All right. Let's do this. LSU or SEC announced who's going to be going to SEC Media Days. We'll get to a quick break. We'll come back and talk about that. A lot of people were asking the question about Sam Levitt. I don't really see it that way. I'm going to tell you how I see why LSU sent the three that they did. We will talk about SEC Media Days and who LSU is sending. We'll get to that next. So do us a favor. Don't go anywhere. Hit the like and share. Subscribe down below. We'll take your thoughts, questions, and concerns as well when we come back. Stay with us.
Guys, let me tell you about our good friends over at Grand Slam Heating and Air, where your comfort is their top priority. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they promise to provide customers with high-quality HVAC service at an affordable price while ensuring the homeowner peace of mind. From their office to your home, they guarantee the best hassle-free experience around. Efficiency and comfort is their game. Let them make your home Grand Slam today. At Grand Slam Heating and Air, they're offering their annual maintenance plan starting off at $18.75 a month and also doing those $99 tune-up promotions. They provide free estimates for system and ductwork replacement as well as offering financing to get the job done with no money up front. From Baton Rouge to Hammond to Covington, they're all around. So what you need to do today, give them a call at 225-380-9065. That's 225-380-9065. Or go over to their website, getgrandslamair.com. That's getgrandslamair.com, where your comfort is their top priority. Guys, I want to tell you about a good friend over the Drake Williams Law Firm, drakewilliamslawfirm.com. If you've been injured in a car wreck or have questions about a personal injury claim, call the Drake Williams Law Firm today. Ernie Drake and Ryan Williams represent injury victims all across the great state of Louisiana. Serving Louisiana families since 1981, whether you're in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, Shreveport, or the great parish of Tangipahoa, the Drake Williams Law Firm is ready to help. With local roots and statewide representation, give them a call right now. 985-386-7600. That's 985-386-7600. And when you do, you will get a free consultation. The Drake Williams Law Firm, where they've been serving Louisiana families since 1981. When your business, your farm, or your equipment needs fuel, you need someone that you can trust. At Crump Fuel, they deliver quality gasoline, diesel, and lubricants with honest service and local pride across South Louisiana and South Mississippi. From construction sites, marinas, convenience stores, and trucking companies, all the way down to generators and everyday operations, Crump Fuel keeps you rolling. Crump Fuel is family-owned and family-operated. With high-quality and dependable delivery, they're always going to bring that competitive pricing. Call Crump Fuel today at 985-229-4976 or visit them over at crumpfuel.com. That's 985-229-4976 or visit them at crumpfuel.com today. Crump Fuel, where they're fueling the Gulf South in the right way.
We're back! Does anybody feel as if that the All-Star game in Major League Baseball is just kind of whatever now? I used to love it. Maybe it's just me. What do I know? All right, before we get out of here, let's get to this. So, the SEC announced the players that all the SEC teams will be bringing to SEC Media Days. Today, it was announced that LSU is going to be sending Tre'Davious Green because, like, no duh. Whit Weeks because, like, probably and more than likely, like, no duh. And T.J. Dottery. I do think T.J. Dottery, to some, kind of got their antennas up when they saw that. Now, let's start off with this. I saw a lot of people say and come up with what I think is a really bad take about why isn't Sam Levitt going. I also saw the take of from some that they believe that every SEC team should bring one of their quarterbacks. Well, why? This is a representation of showing the three guys that you want to bring from your team that you think are the most critical. Now, here's what, and I'm not really guessing, here's my, though, opinion of this matter. Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks are the two guys that stayed here, and I just want to be honest with you, have done so much of keeping this team and program together when they've needed it. Make no mistake about it. We can talk about Lane coming in. We can talk about a new offensive staff coming in. We can talk about the retention of the defensive staff. But, guys, you went through a very critical situation in firing Brian Kelly and the entire offensive staff. You went through a very critical situation with losing the players that you did. And quite frankly, you've had trade-ins, Green and Whit Weeks, per Lane Kiffin, that look, they have already been here. They have been here. This school means something to them, and they have been pillars for our team in rebuilding what it is that we want to do. Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks, quite honestly, if we want to call it like we see it, I think the quarterback position is the real whole soul and heart of your team, regardless of what you want to say, whether you have a personality like Cam Newton or a personality like Eli Manning. They're the heart and souls of your team. However, that's not the only parts and hearts or parts of the heart and the soul that a team can have. These two young men have held things together in critical and dark times. They deserve to be represented and represent the school that when they stayed and kept those puzzle pieces together, for every domino starts falling down, they deserve to be there. So where I think Tre'Davious Green could possibly be your new number 7, where I think very possible that Whit Weeks could be your next number 18, they deserve, as the faces of your program, to be a part of the SEC Media Days. In reference to Sam Leavitt, we'll get to TJ Dottery in just a minute. In reference to Sam Leavitt, I didn't even remotely think that it was a problem. I know that you have Arch Manning, you have Trinidad Chambliss. I know that you have all of these other quarterbacks that have been stars in the SEC that will be going to Media Days. I get it. I understand it. From a media content situation, as someone who's in media, I would love for Sam Leavitt to be there too, because we're going to get more clicks if he was there. I get it. But this is a first year at your program, and you got to make a statement, not to the world. You got to make a statement to your team. And the statement that Lane is saying to you here is a simple one. Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks held the puzzle pieces together when all chaos surrounded them and broke down in front of them, and they stayed loyal to the school that meant the most to them. They deserve to be there. I don't know ultimately what the decision went down of why they did or didn't bring Sam Leavitt. I'm sure if they could bring 4, he would have been the 4th. But there have been a lot of questions as to why TJ Dottery was the guy that got the nod instead of Sam Leavitt. Do you not pay attention to the things that your head coach has to say if you're in the media? Because I looked and saw the name TJ Dottery and him going to SEC Media Days, and I'm like, oh my God, this makes so much sense. During the spring, Lane brought up the situation that surrounded TJ Dottery. Now, if you remember, the situation was that a lot of Ole Miss fans took to social media and talked about an incident that happened while TJ Dottery was at Clemson that they were saying that happened that was not true. They put him in the ringer. They made up lies about him, and which where the real truth was, the lies that came out about TJ Dottery were so much of a lie that somebody else went to jail per Lane for the incident, and that TJ Dottery didn't do what the Ole Miss fans were claiming that he did. In that, when Lane made that statement, go back and look at it. Go back and watch the interview. Everybody tries to convince you that the man is, you know, he has no real emotions or whatever. Did you see how emotional he was that TJ Dottery, who had been through so much, and all that Lane sees is that the guy that had so much trust in Lane followed him from Ole Miss to LSU, that he believed in what he had built and that he was going to follow his head coach, and how passionate Lane was at the podium and saying all these people at Ole Miss are talking about these lies. That's not even what happened. Lane told you about the connection that he had with a player. Guys, go back and listen, and we probably should have just clipped this so that you could hear it. But if you go back and you listen to what Lane said, he's telling you what he thinks. I'm not saying that Lane feels that he owes TJ Dottery,
But one thing is for sure is that there is some level of, man, this dude really believes in what we're doing when he left Ole Miss and came to LSU and followed me. By the way, Pete Golding was his position coach. T.J. Dottery's position coach was the head coach now at Ole Miss, and he left that guy because he thought Lane was better. Tells me everything that I need to know. Lane Kiffin went to a podium and got very passionate and just quite honestly emotional, which there's nothing wrong with, in backing T.J. Dottery and saying that these guys knew what we built, believe in what we're building, and want to come be a part of something special. He told you at the end of that interview that I'm never going to forget that. That's a direct quote. T.J. Dottery's now going to SEC Media Days. Now, the people that I see overreacting to this are people in the media. You know, two things are true at the same time. It tells me that you weren't listening to what Lane had to say. It also tells me that you don't know, and nor do you have sources inside the building, as to why. I was told that there was no chance that anybody was going to go if Lane had a choice other than T.J. Dottery, because that's his guy. Good. Bring him. Because I feel that if you want to send a message, not only to your team, but to the nation, you send it. And I'm completely okay with it. This isn't a shot at Sam Levitt. You overreacted, and some of those overreacted to Sam Levitt not being there because you want him to be there for the clips, because you didn't get to talk to him and see him during the spring. And it's all about you. Has nothing to do with LSU making a statement to their own team and people being loyal and Lane doing whatever in the hell Lane wants to do, which is his right to do it. Because here's also a real truth. I shouldn't say this. SEC Media Days are a glorified, literally a glorified pep rally. It gets us ready for the season. I like them because it gets us ready for the season. What does it really do? You get a whole bunch of coach speak and player speak. It didn't make LSU and Brian Kelly win any more games. The only real big news that's come out over the last couple of years is literally that's had absolutely nothing to do with any of the teams other than when Texas and Oklahoma, when Texas A&M went into SEC Media Days and they leaked it to the media on the Texas A&M side that Texas was coming into the conference and that Greg Sankey went up to the podium and said, over my dead body, are we expanding to 24 playoff teams? Guys, let me ask you this question. What was the most viral moment of SEC Media Days last year? Do you remember? Do you remember? By the way, it had nothing to do with any of the teams. It had to do with the media fight that was inside of the SEC Media Days. It is what it is. Lane, look. When people are loyal to you, you want to be loyal to them. And I'm not saying that Lane isn't loyal to Sam Levitt or that he doesn't like Sam Levitt. I think Lane showed by his actions, not only the money that LSU's paying Sam Levitt, but he showed his actions by flying to Knoxville and going and getting him. He doesn't hate the dude. He loves the dude. But T.J. Dottery and Lane Kiffin have been through war together. And I would assume that when someone makes a decision to follow you and you see them getting absolutely railroaded on social media because the only thing that they did was believe in you, yeah, you're going to build a level of respect for that player. You're going to build a level of respect for the guy that was loyal to you. So, no, it makes absolutely no – or let me say it like this. No, it makes absolute sense to me of why he chose T.J. Dottery and Tre'Davious Green and Whit Weeks. Yeah, no duh. That's a no duh level situation. Garrett Nussmeier going to SEC Media Days the last 2 years didn't make him throw damn near 20 interceptions the last two.
It means nothing other than people want to get content and clips because there's nothing that they're doing right now. It is what it is. All right. No more super chats? No. I see we got some questions here. David says, Sam has not played it down in the SEC yet. The right decision was made by Lane Kiffin, and he loves TJ Dottery. So, yeah. So easy, says on YouTube, and the amount they paid for Mensa would have been the same $10 million for Williams. It was absolutely Miami floating that $2 million, without a doubt. Brother, I don't think it was 10, and easy, you can correct me on this. I thought it was 7. A $2 million buyout for Mensa with Miami in his final contract, and they paid him around $7 million, or $5 million to go be the quarterback. So regardless of the numbers, that were that semantical, if that's even a word, it doesn't matter. Miami was also massively a part of that, 1,000%. The real DY on YouTube says, I've been saving, giving Trey Dez number 7. Have y'all played the college football 27 game? Trey Dez Green is an absolute beast. Dude, by the way, I spent a lot of NIL. Speaking of that, I just got through a season. I think I told y'all this. I spent a lot of, I think over $500 to keep Trey Dez Green for another year. Because why not? He is a mismatch galore. Andy Alexander with a $10 super chat says, them boys about to show up with them lemon pepper steppers on next week. Hashtag go Tigers. That's when you know that Andy has been watching this show for a long time. Lemon pepper steppers goes back to a podcast like from 5 years ago. I still wear them lemon pepper steppers. Mm-hmm. I still wear my lemon pepper steppers around the house, around the studio. I still wear my lemon pepper steppers. But that's when you know that you have somebody that's been in the foxhole with you, because I haven't brought up lemon pepper steppers in a long time. So, Andy, you're a loyal one, my man. Good to have you in here, and thank you so much for the super chat. All right. We'll see y'all again tomorrow. Y'all have a blessed night. Peace out, Girl Scouts.